Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have a interesting twist for you. We're going to jump around a little bit. I know I've been giving you different guests here recently, and I want to go back to a topic that we have hit in the past, but I think we need to hit it a little harder and help you understand more about how credit agencies work and also more about credit, short sales, all that stuff. And so I've invited Paul Oster to be on the program with me. He's Chief Executive Officer of Better Qualified LLC. The website is betterqualified.com. Paul, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dave.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're a very busy guy running your company and helping a lot of people understand a whole lot more about how credit works and how consumers can do better with their credit, about, you know, how things work with inquiries into their credit. So let's kind of dive right in. What are most consumers not, what don't they realize about how credit scores affect the actual cost of getting credit, and also about some of these repair services out there, if they really work or not?
Yeah, sure. So fortunately or unfortunately, you know, we live in a credit-driven world today, and your FICO score, that's the score formula that is most widely used for consumers. And that score obviously can affect everything from mortgage interest rates, credit card interest rates, auto financing. But most people don't understand that it's now also used to determine insurance premiums, specifically homeowners insurance, auto insurance, and disability insurance. All of those products use an insurance score, which is pretty much a credit score in disguise, to determine the premiums that people pay. So all other things being equal, somebody with a lower credit score is going to pay more in higher interest rates and also insurance premiums.
How nice. Boy, talk about kicking you when you're down, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And unfortunately, like you said, when you're talking about what we don't know, unfortunately, no one knows the exact formula and algorithm that's used to determine our score. So even though, you know, I started Better Qualified 7 years ago, and I'm a credit expert, and I go by pie charts and some generalities. Nobody knows except for the Fair Isaac Corporation exactly the cause and effect for credit scores. And that's unfortunate when, you know, that number is used to determine so many things in our lives.
Well, and it's not just, as you shared, affecting our insurance premiums, but of course, you know, businesses, employers more and more are asking for credit information when they hire somebody, especially in a sensitive financial environment or business like what I do, being a financial planner. So it really has a pervasive impact on people's lives.
It does, and it might be okay in theory. I don't necessarily disagree with the fact that the credit score is used to determine so many things. Let's face it, you know, over 300 million people, you know, have credit scores and credit reports, and how do we measure those folks for financing and employment? You know, it's an effective tool. In theory, the problem is that the latest research shows that over 70% of credit reports have false and inaccurate information on there. So that type of information can lead to a lower score, and that could certainly lead to someone not being considered as a candidate for a job, or, again, certainly paying higher interest rates for everything that they do.
It's really amazing. So the obvious question then, Paul, is what do people do about this? Do they, you know, they go and do the whole check out your credit report every year? And I know that there's ways people can go when they can do their own looking at their credit report and make sure that everything's what it's supposed to be, or are there other solutions?
Well, that's the number one solution. You know, I say it all the time, knowledge is power. So there's no way to know what you need to do unless you know what's on the reports and what the scores look like. So your listeners, Dave, need to understand that the first thing that they need to do is know what their scores are, take a peek at their credit report. The government does give us all one free look every year. Your listeners can simply go to annualcreditreport.com. That's annualcreditreport.com. That's the government's website that gives us all one free look at all three bureaus once a year. The problem there is you're not going to get your scores unless you pay Mr. FICO.
Yeah.
So it's about $10 per bureau, and you know that's certainly worth the investment. Again, when you're when you consider that the scores are so pervasive and have such a big impact.
Good point.
So, yeah, knowing what's on the reports and knowing what's on this, what the scores look like, that's the first step. And then you had mentioned, you know, credit repair organizations.
Well, let's do that. Paul, let's take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk about the repair organizations. Paul Oster is our guest today. BetterQualified.com is the website. And, Paul, we'll be right back. Hang right there, okay?
Okay, you got it.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back with Paul Oster on the program, ladies and gentlemen. BetterQualified.com is the website and also the name of the company. And you're getting ready to share with our listeners, Paul, so I want to make sure we have plenty of time to get into about these credit repair services or agencies. What is all that about?
Yeah, so fortunately, most of the state attorney generals and the FTC has taken out most of the companies that were, you know, doing more harm than good. And I got into the business because I was in the mortgage industry and was helping clients on an individual basis and decided to form a credit repair organization. So the consumer, your listeners, need to make sure that the company that they're going to work with is an accredited company with their, you know, Better Business Bureau. They can check out the complaints. They can see how long the company's been in business, and it's really very much a buyer beware situation, because although they've cleaned up most of the industry, there are still some companies out there that are taking folks' money and not providing the services that they talk about. So credit repair is a, you know, a legitimate industry. There are things that can be done by a third-party company like Better Qualified. Your listeners need to understand that this is something that they could do themselves, okay? You know, in fact, the second page of my contract is called the Federal File Disclosure, and it says that you don't have to pay a company like Better Qualified to perform these services. But at the end of the day, when we think about other things that you can do yourself, like change your own oil, or, you know, maybe you want to try and give yourself a haircut, sometimes those things don't always work out for the best, and you might be better off working with a professional company that does this on a daily basis. Because I'll tell you, it's not a one-time shot. You know, it's very much a process. There's a lot of time involved in it. And, you know, your listeners that have tried to even do this, you know, maybe with one creditor or a third-party collection company, they'll realize how frustrating it can really be.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, Paul. I think that, you know, there's a lot of things we can do ourselves, but can doesn't mean should. And I think people needing help, they can definitely go to the website and get more information, betterqualified.com. And because, you know, it's knowing the lingo, it's knowing the language, it's knowing what to do next if something doesn't get done right. And we know, we talked earlier about how much of an impact the credit has on so many different things. One of the other things I think people may not be as aware of, and I know you're very tuned into this, answer this question for me. Do the credit agencies actually communicate with each other, where maybe if you've got something that's not correct in one place, it ends up affecting everything else, like it taints the whole credit score thing or your credit information because these agencies are sharing with each other? Is that something we should be concerned about?
Well, it sure is. And boy, I wish they did communicate with one another, because it would make my job a lot easier and certainly help the consumer. So what folks need to understand are the bureaus, the big three, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, are privately held for-profit companies. They are not government agencies. And in fact, they're very much in competition with one another. So not only do they not share data, they really don't communicate on any level at all. And all they really do is collect the data on the trillions of trade lines. So every time somebody makes a payment to a bank or a credit card company or a department store, that information is recorded by the bureaus. But like we said, the bureaus themselves are not the ones who are generating our credit scores. So that really becomes a problem. You have three different agencies, and they all use different data points and software, and they're giving that data to the Fair Isaac Corporation to give them a score.
Boy, that gives me so much comfort.
No, absolutely. You know, and again, go back to the stat on the latest research showing that over 70% of reports have false and inaccurate data on those reports. And that type of information, again, can lead to lower credit scores.
Well, and that brings me to my next question, Paul, which is I know we mentioned earlier in the program that people can go to the annualcreditreport.com and they can do that once a year and they can get a report from each of the different agencies. But beyond that, what can consumers do to try to have a positive effect on their credit score?
Well, you know, just going back to what you said, unfortunately, looking at your credit report once a year isn't enough.
Okay.
The FTC, or I should say the FBI, tells us that identity theft is the fastest growing crime in the country. So if it's something that you only look at once a year, it could be months before you realize that somebody has accessed your credit. And, you know, to be able to look at your listeners and poll them, I'm sure people are shaking their heads right now. They themselves have become victims or they know somebody.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, again, we live in a world where credit monitoring is a necessity. And I say that because early detection is the key, like with so many other things, in identity theft. So if you're only looking at it once a year, again, the effects can be devastating.
Yeah, let's do this, Paul. Let me take one more quick break here with you, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about identity theft. Paul Oster is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Better Qualified is the website, betterqualified.com, and Better Qualified is the company. Stay right there, Paul. We'll be right back.
Thanks. There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Oster is our guest. He's the CEO of Better Qualified LLC and also betterqualified.com is the website. I wanted to take that quick break, Paul, because identity theft is such a large concern. You're so right. This is an exploding area. It is done both in a somewhat amateur basis, but it's also become something that is done professionally, where whole teams of people, have planned. They develop battle plans on how to steal as much information as they can about not just individuals, but whole groups of people.
Yeah. You know, like you said, when you look at the amateurs, we call it dumpster diving, is still a very viable way that people are stealing other people's IDs. So your listeners, again, one of the most best investments that they can make is to buy a cross shredding machine.
Amen.
For their personal documents.
I've got one of those at the house myself.
Yeah, it's imperative that you do it because they will simply take your bag of garbage that you tie up so nice and neat and put it out there by the curb, and when it gets to the landfill, there are people that will go there and look through, and it's real easy to see bank statements,
sure,
and credit card statements. And
they're pretty easily identified.
Like, yep, and then what you said about the let's call them savvy thieves that have groups of people, and your listeners obviously listen to the news. Some of these data breaches are in the millions of files, okay? Tens of thousands of data bases are being compromised with one breach. Unfortunately, like you're talking about how uncomfortable some of this makes you, our information, our identity, on the black market is only worth about $10 a pop. And the reason for that is there's no shortage of IDs out there.
Supply and demand.
If it was very hard to come across IDs that could be stolen, then that stuff would be that much more valuable. But unfortunately, all of our information is stored. Just think about it. It's mind-boggling. Millions of databases. The older you get, the more data you have, and the more databases that information has been stored in. I am the first person and a firm believer We have an identity theft resolution program that goes along with our credit monitoring. I am the first person to say, at the end of the day, if somebody wants your ID, they can get it.
So it's not really about protection, or I think you're exactly right on, Paul. Protection is really a false sense of security. You've got two things. You've got monitoring, and then you have what you call resolution or restoration, which is so critical. Monitoring is only, a small piece of it, because a lot of times by the time, as you said earlier, we find out it's already happened. Now the name of the game is really about how do we get this thing fixed.
That's right. And what most, folks, believe, and it's a big myth, is people are stealing IDs for monetary reasons, when in fact, most identity theft is committed for the actual identity. They're not looking for actual monies in the short term. They are looking to steal someone's ID for various reasons. They're looking for a job, and maybe they're an ex-convict and they didn't have stellar credit to begin with, or maybe they're planning on doing something utility. Okay? Utility identity theft is one of the fastest growing segments.
What would be an example? What would be an example of that, Paul?
Yeah, if you think about it, here's the perfect example. If I had enough of your information, and I don't need a lot, I would rent an apartment down the street, and I would call the Dish Network and have the Dish Network turned on in that apartment by 5 p.m. today in your name.
Nice.
And the bill would be being sent to my new apartment, and while I'm living there, I'll probably pay the bill, but I'll tell you what, Dave, I'm not going to make the last payment, and you're not going to find out about it until it goes into collection, and maybe through a title search, they actually find you, but then your job is that you have to say, well, I never lived at, 32.
Yeah, you got to prove it.
Yeah, you have to prove it, so that's really where the problem lies.
Well, and what's even scarier to me, and I'm sure a lot of people, will say, yeah, that does sound bad, is the criminal activity, where they use your identity, go commit a crime.
Yep. And we just heard a report today, not only just IDs, but it's now also cell phones. So just think about somebody being able to make a call that appears to be coming from your cell phone. And they could be perpetrating a crime. They could be calling in a bomb threat. They could be buying drugs. They could be committing illegal activities. But they've somehow been able to use your phone number. So really, nothing is sacred anymore. We can do the best we can to try and protect ourselves and keep our data safe and shred our documents. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that, in reality, you have to be aware of everything that's happening.
You're so right. And on that point, Paul, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like for you to share with our listeners about some of the new and proposed regulations as it relates to credit agencies and the way they do business. Paul Oster is our guest today. BetterQualified.com. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Oster is our guest, and he's sharing with us his keen insight into credit and identity theft and how you can really be on the lookout for what can go wrong and what to do about it. The website is betterqualified.com. And I know that there's some new and proposed regulations out there that affect credit agencies and the way they do business. Share with us a little bit about that, Paul.
Sure. Finally, something positive that we
Okay, good.
About,
positive. Let's end on a good note.
This is good stuff for your listeners. One of the newest government agencies, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Everybody's kind of been sitting back and waiting to see which direction they were going to go. And fortunately for us as consumers, they've kind of eyed up the credit bureaus, and they've put them in their crosshairs, and they've said, we're going to hold you accountable for this information. You're in charge of maintaining and updating this stuff and the scores that are being so widely used and abused. And for the first time in history, consumers are going to have the ability to champion, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, is going to be on their side to try and undo some of the stuff that's been done to them. So a lot of times when clients contact us, it's very important for your listeners to realize our consultation and credit analysis is free, okay, 100% of the time. And a lot of times we're just pointing people in the right direction because they don't know. They don't know that there's resources out there that can help them help themselves. And again, there's no charge for those types of things. So we'll point them in the right direction. If it's something that we feel they'd be better off, you know, working with us, then we'll let them know that too. But
good.
With the introduction of this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, we feel that it's really going to help give the consumer that little bit of an edge that we've been missing, you know, from the beginning. In the past, only the FTC has been loosely, I use that term very loosely, regulating the credit bureaus.
Now, that's very encouraging because, you know, I think a lot of people out there feel like a pinball, you know, that we just get kind of bounced and patted and knocked around because we don't really feel a sense of control over this. And you say, well, my score is my score. Yeah, I can check my credit report, but it is what it is, so to speak, right?
Well, no, here's another positive thing. What most people have to understand is that there are things that can be done, and it doesn't take 7 years. You know, that's another credit myth that's out there. And the seven-year thing is that the statute of limitations says that most derogatory information may stay on the credit report for up to 7 years. But the information that's causing or having the greatest impact is the information from the previous 2 years.
Okay.
So what folks need to understand is that if they got themselves into some type of program or they started a proactive approach to enhancing their credit, fixing their credit, repairing their credit, however you want to say it, inside of 1 to 2 years, they would be in a much better position than they are today.
Well, then I'll tell you what, Paul. Let's stop right there, and I'll direct people to go to your website for more information, betterqualified.com. We're out of time. Paul Oster has been our guest today. Paul, thank you very much for being on the program.
You're welcome, David. And folks can also call us at 888-533-8138. Again, that number, 888-533-8138.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Dave.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.